everybody this morning. So I am the designated talker. I'm going to give my little talk. It says sermon, but no. But welcome everyone, whether over the internet, Facebook, or live here. Welcome. If anybody has any concerns, you're welcome to bring them up, but I guess we'll get on with the service. May the peace of Christ be with you all. And join me in the call to worship. Say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The Lord is good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love. You are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God, my God in whom I trust.
And now for the July fun time of Stump the Organist. Anybody have, Chris? Michael? 525.
By the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have
your peace.
finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
Please join me in prayer of confession. Most merciful provider, we come to confess those times we have failed to trust you. Overcome with doubt, our lives have been ruled with anxiety. Instead of taking steps of faith, we have chosen the easier path. You give us so much, but at times we withhold our best from you. In your tender care, encourage us to be more willing to follow you. In your faithfulness, help us to trust your ways. Forgive our sins and allow us to sing a new song that blesses your holy name. Amen. Please rise for Gloria Patri.
Glory be to the Father and to
it's time to present the offering when, the offering plates in the narthex. So it's time to offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Make good your vows to the Most High. Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving, kind of part of our communion service. So it's a time of thanksgiving. Let's show our thanks unto God. Let us therefore with gladness present these offerings in our part of our life and labor to the Lord. Father, thank you that you can satisfy our every desire and need. Your word says that we should give honor to you with the first fruits of our wealth. And Lord, please accept these tithes and offering as a gift of worship to you. Please use them according to your needs. Let us be your faithful servants. Multiply what we give for the effective growth of your kingdom, and these things we ask, Jesus, amen. Well, if there are any children come up, having seen none, I'm not going to skip the children's moment. Was that Michael McCracken? I've got something for you a little later. David Franson told me to tell a little joke at some point. But, you know, the Old Testament lesson, the reading is out of Jonah and the whale. We all know the story, but I'm not so sure if I didn't think it was not quite as important as it really is. Jesus talked about Jonah. Jonah was three days and three nights in that big fish. And Jesus says, the only sign that I'm going to give you, the coming of the Messiah, is going to be 3 days and three. The sign of Jonah is what it's called. So for all you children of all ages out there over the internet and here, when you think about Jonah, you can't help but think of that big fish or the whale. Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. You know, he was on this ship. He was trying to get away from what God had. In fact, he was trying to go the opposite direction of Nineveh, trying to get away from what God was telling him to do. The people on the ship, he caught a ship in Joppa. People on the ship, this great storm came up, and they had a pretty good idea that it was Jonah's doing. They threw him off the ship into the sea. And then the Lord caused this whale to come and swallow him up. Is that good or bad? Happy, sad, glad, mad? What is it? Was that punishment for Jonah? Or was the Lord saving Jonah? And my response is, yes, it was. Has the Lord ever come into our lives and maybe in a way we really didn't like, but later on you might realize that it was really a saving grace by God? And have you heard that term before? What is grace? Have you ever done something maybe that you knew you shouldn't, maybe your mother told you, could have even been old dad told you that you shouldn't have done? But guess what? Your parents probably forgave you. You might have received a little punishment, but they might have forgiven you. So God will forgive us. He assures us that He will forgive and actually forget things that we do wrong. Sometimes it's neat to look at things from a different perspective. And so sometimes when you go about your everyday chores and routines that your parents might have you do, just think that it might be for your own good, and that Jesus and God, they're available to help you out as well as your mom and dad. And you're never going to be ignored by God. He can see us even if we were in the belly of that big fish. He can still hear our prayers, and just remember that. That concludes the children's moment. And the sermon is entitled, It's Only a Talk. It's not a sermon. I didn't wear a coat today because I'm not trying to play preacher. I might be a little bit higher up, but I'm just like, we're going to kind of do some talking. But it's just a one-way talk. But if you took speech ever in high school or college or whatever, the teacher always told you, and it was hard for me because I couldn't figure out anything, but they always said, you know, either you need to understand what your purpose for the speech is. Well, my purpose was to make a dadgum A, okay? That's all I care. Well, what is your purpose, though? Well, is it to persuade? Is it to inform? Well, the purpose of my little talk today is going to be provocative. I'm trying to provoke you to ask questions of yourself. If you want to ask questions of somebody else, that's fine. But so the title of it is, What Do You Like About God? And so I want to get you to thinking. I know we're not to, no, Michael's making faces at me. I know we're not to the says sermon yet. I've got to do the Old and New Testament. I know. But be thinking about it. Now I want us to June is up there. She taught me in second grade Sunday school. She was only 10 years old when she was doing it. But when I came in, she said, "Now remember, I taught you everything you know." And that, hey, you know, let's all close our eyes, figuratively if you want. Close your eyes and think. What is it? Now, we were all probably raised in Sunday school for the most part. We were blessed that we were. Bible verses and lessons from wonderful teachers. What did you, close your eyes, what did you like about God back then? I'm thinking about Jesus Christ, and he puts the little children on their knees, and man, I'd like to be sitting on that knee, and it's love and all sorts of. Now, kind of fast forward, what do you like about God now? And, you know, when Jim asked me to do this little talk, I said, I don't want to preach. I'm not going to preach. I might just come up with some crazy question. And so I really thought, when's the last time we really thought about what it is about God that we do like? So anyway, I'm going to read the Old Testament out of Jonah. And by the way, that's 2 Corinthians and the New Testament. So Jonah 1:14 through chapter 2, verse 10. Wherefore they cried unto. Okay, so the preface, you know, prefacing this reading. The Lord came to Jonah and said, "Hey, you got to go to Nineveh and preach to those people." I got a feeling Jonah knew the Lord really well, because he knew the Lord was going to give those guys a second chance and save them and give them some salvation. He went the other way. He went into Joppa, hopped a ship, and was out in the sea. The Lord caused a great storm to come. Those guys figured out who it was. And Jonah actually cooperated and said, "Yeah, I understand. You got to throw me over." They threw him over. Okay, so here's reading. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For that thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me all about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. And then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. That concludes the Old Testament reading. And And then the next guy up is Paul, who wrote 2 Corinthians, of course. And 1 through 10. So I'm reading out of the King James Version. I'm sorry. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man about 14 years ago. I cannot tell whether in or out of the body. He went to the seventh heaven, basically, or the third heaven. And I knew such a man, I cannot tell you how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable word, which is not even lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth or heareth, and lest I should be exalted above measure. The abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And the Lord said unto me, my grace shall be sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So that's Paul, who used to be Saul. And that brings us to the sermon. We're going right down the list. Brings us to the talk, we'll say. And I just, you know, this is the last talk from some dude out in the congregation. From now on, we're going to have a minister. And I know I heard somebody say, thank God. But it was a real pleasure and honor to serve on the pulpit nominating committee. I've been asked to speak of that briefly. We had Kitty and Stephen, David and Michael and myself. And the reason that Kitty was selected, I've been told, and of course everybody knows, we had to have some class on the committee. She was the only one who served. She's the only reason we got the pastor, because, you know, she prepared and served a meal. That's just magic. So, but then Stephen, I mean, we wouldn't even have this pastor. You got to have the youth, and you got to have the unconventional wisdom to go outside the box, and that's exactly what we had with Stephen in order to get Gordon. So, and then David, you know, David Franson, okay. The Lord is wonderful in all of his mysteries, so that the mystery here is, why did somebody select David Franson to serve on the committee? And the Lord is wonderful, because God only knows. And that leaves Michael McCracken and then myself. The basically me and David Franson even told me, yeah, you're not going to sit there because you're real quiet. You're never going to ask a question, so I'll sit there. That really happened. But the only purpose I served was, I was very quiet, as expected. The only purpose I served was, after it was determined we were going to select Gordon, he had had a 26-year legal career, so the only thing they wanted me to respond to was, hey, you're a lawyer. Do you think you could really have a lawyer, ex-lawyer, to serve as a pastor? So I don't know. I didn't get the joke there, but that kind of told me why every time of year that it comes to be hunting season, I get asked by this one guy. He's really good. We're not really good friends at all, but he asked me to go hunting, and we've been on some wonderful hunts. But the third year, I said, hey, man, why do you ask me? I'd like to think we're close, but we're really not, so why do you ask me to go hunting? He says, I'm allergic to snakes. I said, fine. I don't like them either. He said, well, I'm allergic to snakes, and I figured that out of professional courtesy, you being a lawyer and all, they wouldn't bother us. So I don't know. That's the purpose I served. Michael McCracken, he has a lot of talent. He's been given a lot of credit to which it's due. And I'll tell you, that talent started at an early age. It started really early. It was identified early. He was about 14. He worked in the produce section of a local grocery store. And only Michael could, this is, wow, you know it's true when you hear this. This large, bulky, muscle-bound man came in, rather large and bulky, muscle-bound, said, hey, kid, I want a half a head of lettuce. Michael said, we got heads of lettuce. We don't have half a lettuce. I want a half a head of lettuce. And Michael, due to the girth of this individual, said, hey, you know what? I'm going to go ask my manager back in the stock room. I'll be right back. Well, unbeknownst to Michael, he didn't know that the large man was following him into the stock room. So here's Michael talking to his manager. Hey, this idiot out there wants to buy half a head of lettuce. And I told him, about that time, he kind of turns around and discovers the guy behind him. He said, I told him we really don't sell half a head of lettuce. And so this fine gentleman here, he'd like the other half. So that's how talented Mike, it was. And the manager said, hey, man, you know, that was really wonderful the way you pulled that off. You just got a lot of talent. And he kind of wanted to know more about Michael. He said, where are you from? Michael said, well, I'm from LaGrange, Texas. You know, the only thing good about LaGrange is there's two things. The only thing that comes out of LaGrange is prostitutes and football players. And the manager says, well, really? My wife is from LaGrange. Michael quickly said, oh, yeah, what position does she play? So, you know, that's just, and, you know, that's his talent. So let's get serious. And I want to tell you in my hopefully short talk, I'll be discussing Jonah, the Virgin Mary, Lucifer, Jonah, Virgin Mary, Saul, Paul, and Bob Dylan. What do all those people have in common? And Lucifer's not even a people. Come on, man. But they're all creations of God. And so, in trying to figure out the question, what do I like about God? We spend all our journey learning about God through a lot of things, but a lot of times the Bible. And so all these people were actually in the Bible. And so what is this topic, what do I like about God? Is that even relevant whether I like God or not? Because I know you formed this, you did what I requested, and you've got all these notions in your head about what you like about God. Why are we here? What do we like about God? Is that even relevant? Do we like the fact that He is the creator of all? He bringeth the rain, etc. We like Him because we love the wonders and majesty of the nature that He created. Well, we like the time, you know, before Christ, after Christ. He keeps all the planets in a certain order. The sun has to be exactly where it is, the moon exactly where it is. I mean, we're thankful. We realize maybe He's the provider of everything. He's the giver of certain gifts. He's the giver of so many gifts. We don't even know how many gifts He gives us. You know, and what about, you know, not dollars and cents, but what about the, you know, not our socioeconomic situation, not just the food on the table, but what about, you know, gifts, spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, faith, goodness, and self-control, those type gifts. When's the last time we were thankful for those things? Maybe that's why we like him. Maybe we're thankful because we can actually see him working in our lives and working in others' lives. Maybe we're thankful for a certain transformation that he's brought us along the way. We're thankful maybe we see some redemption. He's redeemed our lives. Maybe sending of the Savior, providing salvation, a deliverance from harm or loss. And as Christians, we know he's delivered us through Jesus Christ. Maybe he's blessed you. Maybe he's blessed you with the birth of children, with giving you your spouse. He's our comforter. He's a source of hope. He's provided a certain faith. Maybe he's filled our heart with gratitude and you realize you can't get it from any other place, maybe. Some people, they're not thankful for anything ever. Right? Maybe that's a gift that we just happen to be thankful to him and others. Maybe thankful for our past. Maybe thankful that he's interested in our future. He's not so much concerned with our past. Maybe we got a shot at something if he just looks at the future and is concerned with everybody's future. Maybe we like God because he is out at the edge of the universe, wherever that might be. He's probably creating something right now, but at the very same time, he's here with us now in our hearts, and he wants an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. Maybe that's what it is that we like. Maybe we're thankful for the abundant life that he's given every one of us, whether we have anything or not. Maybe we're thankful for the ability to perceive and discern, even though the world wants to tell us different. Maybe we're thankful because he gave us free will. We can go up to the altar, we go up there alone, or we might not never go anywhere near it. Maybe we're actually, some of us, thankful for the ability and opportunity to serve him. We know the truth that in order to love God, we love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, anybody remember the Westminster Shorter Catechism, that little catechism book? Well, what is the chief end of man, it asks? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. What is God? It says God is spirit. God is spirit. Infinite, eternal, unchangeable. Unchangeable in his being. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That sounds good. What is the work of creation? The work of creation is God's making all things out of nothing by his word, by his power, in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Well, what is the mystery? What is the misery of that estate that man fell into? Well, all mankind, by their fall, lost communion with God. So they could be in hell forever. So what do we like about God? Well, one thing is a mystery, the mystery of God. Mystery of God that works within our lives, works within others. Well, now we're going to think about some other people besides ourselves. Lucifer, again, who was Lucifer? Well, Satan. He was the highest angel God created. God created the angels, I guess, on the second day. Created angels before man. Lucifer was the number one angel. The question is, again, what did he think about God? Lucifer was the prettiest thing there ever was. His name meant bringing light. He was the morning star, the morning star. He's talked about in the Bible. Isaiah said, "How have you fallen from heaven, morning star?" Talking to the devil. "Son of dawn, you have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on tops of the cloud like the Most High God.'" Isaiah said, "Yeah, you wanted all those things, but you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit of hell." Well, I don't know. Lucifer had it all, it seemed like to me. Didn't value it much, and now we know the rest of it. He's not the prince of light anymore. He's the prince of darkness. We'll never have as much as he had, so to speak. So how do we like that? What about Jonah? You know, when you're in the belly of a whale, I don't know, unlike Lucifer, I don't think he had it all. In the belly of a whale, he'd messed up big time. Well, what does Jonah think about God? He didn't do what God wanted, and God brought this big storm up, gets this whale to swallow him. He's been in there 3 nights and 3 days. He hadn't been to the restaurant for takeout. It has not been a good thing. But what does Jonah say about God? "I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters compassed about me, even to my soul. Everything was closed about me. I had weeds wrapped around my head. I was at the bottom, yet you brought up my life from corruption, O Lord. When my soul fainted from within, I remembered you, God. My prayer went up to you. You're so merciful, I observe. Lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I will sacrifice with thee a voice of thanksgiving. Salvation is of the Lord." Now, he's in the belly of hell. That's what he called it, the belly of hell. What does he think about God? That makes no sense. That's not even logical. You can't love God when you're in the middle of hell or in, you know, the big fish. God is the one who caused that whale to come eat me up. Ain't that God? It's terrible. That's the logical human nature side of it, isn't it? But that's not the way Jonah felt. And I'll tell you right now, Jonah's talking more than just in the belly of fish. He knew it was God that was his salvation. He lifted him up from his corruption. He wasn't being real corrupt in the whale. He was just there. And with the seaweed wrapped all around him, he had been in problems before. And he had the waters all about him. He was fixing to drown. Everything was closing in on him. And it was God who delivered him. Okay, that's the way Jonah feels. What about Mary, the Virgin Mary? How does she feel about God? Well, I'll tell you the way she ought to feel. She ought to dislike him immensely. She was a young virgin lady. And God says, hey, you know, the angel says, hey, I'm going to impregnate you. You're a little bit young. You had never even been close to a man. I don't know, I'm pregnant. Your mother ain't going to like you. Nobody else will like you. In fact, once you have that baby, it, right or wrong, you could be killed by stoning to death. What have you gotten me into? Joseph, my boyfriend, my betrothed, what have you? What is he going? It wasn't another man. It was the Lord Almighty. I don't think that's going to work very well. Here she is. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He's been mindful of me, his servant. Call every, you know, generations will call me blessed. What mighty, what great things the Mighty One has done for me. Holy is his name. The Lord's mercy extends to those who fear him. He has performed mighty deeds. He has filled the hungry with good things. He sent the rich away empty. She's so thankful. How is that? Well, anyway, she loves the Lord. It's so obvious. And in that, and so that's what I mean by perspectives. Perspective, the perspective of Mary and Jonah. You know, Mary, I mean, it shouldn't be this way. But through God, it just is. It is. Well, what do we think about God? Isn't that wonderful that Mary's Magnificat? Now, Saul, what's his perspective? Paul. Paul was Saul. Saul, man, he was the right, kind of like Lucifer. I mean, he was way up there, right under the priest. He was the priest's right-hand man. He was the persecutor of all the Christians, basically wanted to kill every one of them. He was on his way to Damascus. Remember, Saul, he was the man observing the stoning of Stephen, the martyr, and Saul was the man to whom Stephen's clothes were laid at the foot of, because it was his bidding that they were doing. They were doing his bidding when they were stoning Stephen. He probably, I would think, that he observed Stephen as he was getting stoned. He could see the Lord and Jesus Christ. You know, calm was over him, even though he was getting stoned to death. So, but anyway, here Saul was with a contingent of army guys on the road to Damascus, and they were going to go persecute them, some Christians. And you know the rest of the story. Here Christ is. He was stricken blind. He didn't eat anything for 3 days and 3 nights, taken in Damascus until Ananias comes, sent by the Lord, and changed his name to Paul after his conversion. So here Paul was, didn't have a thing at that point, but he had been the big cheese. I mean, he was a number one persecutor. And he was a great Jew, so he was very popular. So here he has nothing, and you know the rest of the story. He didn't really have a genteel life. After that, he had numerous shipwrecks and, you know, all these journeys. He was very determined, suffering brutal physical pain, persecution, martyrdom, imprisonment. And then here's a guy who says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, in Philippians 4. And then now, and you're reading for today out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7, 8, 9, Paul had something bad wrong with him, a thorn in his side. We don't know exactly what. It could have been something with his eyes, scales, I don't know. But he asked the Lord three times, hey, take it from me. This is bad. Please get rid of it. Hey, I'm a good guy. I'm your servant. I'm doing all these great things. I'm establishing your church. Take it from me. The Lord never did. And now, Paul's thankful for that. And the Lord said unto me, when I had asked him again that it depart from me, this terrible affliction that I had. And the Lord said unto me, my grace shall be sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weaknesses. And then he liked it. He liked that. So that's how Paul feels about the Lord. Glory to God on that. So who does that remain? Who does that leave? Bob Dylan, of course. You got to have Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan. Who is that guy? Well, what's his perspective? Well, all I know, I didn't really know much about Bob Dylan's. A little older might know a little more. But I knew one thing, that John Lennon and Paul McCartney, as well as the Rolling Stones, they said, hey, we patterned what we wanted to do and the music we wanted to perform and write after Bob Dylan. Okay, well, that's that Bob Dylan. Well, that's pretty high praise, you know. That's pretty high praise. The Rolling Stones are still at it. But the Beatles, I mean, you know, so Time magazine said they're more well-known than God in the 60s. So Bob Dylan, oh, he was born Jewish, very, very Jewish. And he was a born-again Christian, wrote Christian music, had three Christian albums, and he won a Grammy Award for the song Gotta Serve Somebody. So, you know, got to kind of have it varied here, talking about different things. And, you know, here's one thing about Bob Dylan, what he said. He said, you know, forever they call me a prophet of pop rock, folk rock, rock and roll. I was the prophet, man. And then he said, when I come out and say Jesus Christ is the answer, then they have started saying he's no prophet, he's just crazy. He said they can't handle it. He won a Grammy Award for that. I already said that. But here's some of the lyrics out of that song, by the way. Again, that's Bob Dylan's perspective. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody, yeah? Indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a preacher with your spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may be working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're going to have to serve somebody. You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Maybe you like to wear cotton. You might like to wear silk. You might like to drink whiskey. You might like to drink milk. You might like to eat caviar. You might like to eat bread. You may be sleeping on the floor. You may be sleeping in a fancy king-size bed. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, that kind of tells us a little about Bob Dylan. I wonder how he came to that conclusion. It's really not all that, doesn't seem to me, and possibly anyway, that it's not all that dissimilar from Jonah and Mary and Saul, Paul. So, you know, what do you like about God? What do you think about that? The mystery of the Lord, His Holy Spirit. I think the answer is there's just something about God. I might not be able to put my finger on it. Well, we can, in the coming weeks, the rest of our journey with God, we can keep on trying to put our finger on it. And good luck.
Congregational choice. 482. Affirmation of faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Prayer of dedication, so let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for all you have done for us through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Please grow in us a keen sensitivity to the blessings we enjoy so that we might have a spirit of gratitude, and let that gratitude grow within us. Let us become a hallmark of gratitude. Let our outlook be positive, and let us witness to your holy word. Through our Lord Jesus, who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, and please let us remember the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, that completes the sermon except for the benediction. So, let us go out and be messengers of God, and let us remember for us to be a living sacrifice with thanksgiving, and continue to think in the Most High as we go in this coming week. Amen.